tonight is Brother Matthew Vallandry. He is going to be sent out by the Central Baptist Church as a missionary to Thailand very soon, we hope. And we've known Brother Vallandry, and we knew his father before him, who was also a preacher. We're grateful to have Brother Vallandry to come and preach to us tonight. Brother Matt.
Well, it is wonderful to be back in our home church. It is one of those odd things where we join a church and then we have to leave it. And so it's wonderful to be back, and we're able to be here for a few weeks and even come on Wednesday night church service. So what a blessing it's been. And I want to thank everyone for all their hard work and labor in putting together this conference. It is a joy to all those who are able to attend, and we thank all for the hard work. If you would turn with me in your Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and we will read a few verses here, beginning in verse 24 through verse 27. Beginning in verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Father, we come again before thee, and we ask that your word would go forth and accomplish its purpose this evening, that you would use me as you see fit, and that you would even convict those that are lost of their sins, and may they find rest in Jesus Christ. And may you be glorified and your name exalted above all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There are many today, many as the place I'm from and even here, the Bible Belt, that call themselves believers in Jesus Christ and claim to follow him. In doing so, they are claiming to be his disciples. The word disciple means a learner, a student of another, a follower of another in its noun form. And biblically speaking, this is one who follows Jesus Christ, a pupil of his, a student of him, and it's not just a matter of learning what he taught, but doing and following his example. And Brother Chris brought this out in the wonderful message before me about wisdom. It's not just a learning, but it is doing, and it is loving that knowledge, that truth that is in Jesus Christ. And here we find in our text a following of wisdom personified. Jesus Christ, the truth and the life. And this is to be a disciple of him is one who follows him. Now, what does it mean to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be a follower of him? In our text in verse 24, he's speaking to his disciples and he says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And we must first and foremost mention that these are not to be looked at as requirements for salvation, but because we are saved, we follow him. Because we are saved, we desire to come after him. and to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and follow Him. And because we are saved, we do this. Now let us look at verse 24 this evening and what our Savior says about His true followers. We first see that His true followers, it says, will come after Him. He says, if any man will come after me. And we are reminded that just a few chapters before this, our Savior mentions in chapter 11, verse 28, He gives the call. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we must see that one must first come to Christ for salvation, come to Christ to be freed from their sin, to be saved from their sin before they can truly be a disciple of His, a student of His, and a follower of His. But we must come to Christ, the giver of life, not just in the beginning, and that is it. We continually come to Christ, the giver of life, the giver of all things, the giver of wisdom, who is wisdom. And so when we see the Savior say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, we come in the beginning when we desire Him to save us from our sins. And we continually come to Him every day afterwards because we still need Him to save us from our sin. Now, we see that these that have come to Him for salvation and continually come to Him, it says that if any man will come after me, it says, and we see that this word after, come after me, is also found in verse 23. And in context, we look and Christ in verse 21 tells them He must go into Jerusalem. He must suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. And Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him. It says, this shall not be. This shall not be done unto thee. And our Savior says, turns to him and He says, Peter, get behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Now the same word behind is the same word in our text after. So we have this picture of Christ saying, come after me, is the same as coming behind me or getting behind me. We are to get behind the Savior, our Savior. We are to get behind Him in whom we are following. We are to follow Him and get behind Him in doing so. We see the same word used here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, when He called His disciples. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, when He called Peter and Andrew, verse 19, He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The same word here is used as translated follow as was behind in verse 23 and in our text is come after me. And we see them doing this in verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. Furthermore, in our text, it tells us that being in His disciple and following Him begins and ends with following Him. Notice our text begins with, if any man will come after me, and it ends with, and follow me. We continually follow Him and come after Him and line up behind Him as our teacher and as our example. As we follow behind Him, we not only learn from Him as wisdom personified, we also must look to Him as our example and follow him in his example. He brings to our understanding and knowledge instruction, but it is also unto action. For he calls us to follow him, to work for him, to follow his cause, the cause of Christ. And this takes us to the second part of our text, where he says, if any man will come after me, then he says, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. And very simply stated, I don't believe there's anything real deep here except for what it plainly says. We are to deny self. We are to be following Christ and not following ourself. We are not to get behind self. We are to get behind Christ. We're to follow Christ and not follow self. The world says to the young people in the world, follow your heart. But we don't want to give that advice. We want them to follow the Word of God. We want to follow them to follow Jesus Christ, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it, the Scriptures say? And the devil is called the father of lies, but our heart, it says, is deceitful above all things. Now, we are to deny self, the Scriptures say, and I believe there is a principle here given in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, where it says that no man can serve two masters. In Matthew 6, 24, it says no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And he gives an example: you cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve Christ on Sunday and some on Wednesday nights when we show up. We serve Christ alone, or we serve self alone. We cannot serve two masters. And then I believe in verse 25 of our text, it further explains this. And in the first part it says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If you save your life, your fleshly life, you desire to preserve the things that you desire, your lusts and desires you fulfill, as Ephesians 2 speaks about before we were quickened. And this is what you still serve, this lifestyle, to preserve whatever makes you happy, your flesh happy, then you will lose it. It will not last. For what is a man profited, verse 26 says, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If your fleshly life and your fleshly desires and your fleshly goals are so important to you that is what you seek to save, what point is there if you are to lose your own soul when compared to eternity? Let us look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Beginning in verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Our text says, the true followers of Christ are to deny self, to deny self-interest. And what we just read, it says to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We'll look at more of that in a moment. Let us look at it as at an example of this, a Old Testament example, but found in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning in verse 24 concerning Moses, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In back to Romans 8:13, it talked about mortification, to mortify. The Webster's Dictionary says that this means to destroy, to subdue, to bring into subjection. And when you look at it translated, it is translated most times as put to death and caused to be put to death, to kill, and to become dead. Mortify. My mind goes to the other words that sound similar, like morgue, mortician, morbid. All dealing with death. We are to put to death the flesh, the old man. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, we see this word again. I believe it's a different Greek word, but it's the Greek word where you get like necrotic tissue or dead tissue. Necrosis, dying. Then it says, mortify, therefore the deeds of, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And it goes through and lists those, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. It tells us to put off these things and other things, and to put on the new man, put off the old man. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. A chapter very similar to that in Colossians 3. Talking about walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh in verse 16. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And you look down at verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. This takes us to the third point we see in our text. We are to come after Him, to follow Him. We are to deny self. And then it says we are to take up our cross and follow Him. Take up our cross. In Galatians 5:24, it talks about crucifying. The disciples knew what was meant by crucifixion in some regard. Now, I believe later they knew more about it being a place of sacrifice. They may not have known that before Christ was crucified, but they did know that it was the Roman cross was a place of death and it was a place of suffering. Those that were crucified did not come down alive from the cross. That was the point of it. It was to make one suffer. It was to put one to death. And later they would realize that it was also a place of sacrifice. Now, when we are told to take up our cross, I believe part of this cross-bearing is first to put to death the old man, as we already looked at in Romans 8. Let's look at Romans chapter 6 now as well. It speaks much of this, Romans chapter 6. The cross being a place of death. We see in Romans 6, beginning in verse 5, it says, For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, and those that as those that are alive from the dead, as your members, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. To take up one's cross is to put to death the old man, the mortification of the flesh. It also refers, I believe, and part of this goes with denying self and self-interest. We now seek the Lord's interest. We now seek His will to be done, not our will. And how are we to pray? We are to pray that His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Not my kingdom, not Matthew Vallandry's little kingdom, that sometimes we focus so much time on building up, filling our houses with, our garage, our barns, right? We are not to be concerned with our kingdom. We're to be concerned with His kingdom. His kingdom come. His will be done, not our will. That's what we were concerned with, is our will to be done, what we wanted. Now we're concerned with His will, that it is done not only in heaven, but on earth. Now, this is a daily battle. And in Luke 9:23, it says that we are to take up our cross daily and follow Him. Is this not a daily struggle? Am I the only one here? This is a daily struggle. this mortification, this killing, this putting to death the old man, this reckoning that we are to do, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, is a daily battle to take up our cross and follow Him. There's a second aspect of this cross-bearing, I believe. Not only was it a place of death, but it was a place of suffering. So to bear the cross is to also suffer. He suffered on the cross. And the cross is a place of great suffering. Christ suffered on the cross. Our sin was placed upon Him, and therefore He suffered the holy wrath of God that we deserved. He suffered. He suffered physical pain. He suffered pain that I can't fathom in other regards. So to bear one's cross is also to actually suffer, to be persecuted, and even to be potentially put to death for the sake of Christ, if that's His will. In our text, it says in verse 25, whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Mark says, whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's. The gospel's. And you think of the martyrs that died because they preached the gospel, because they declared Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 18. Christ says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. Right? You're living for flesh just like the world lives for flesh. It loves its own. But you no longer live for the flesh. You live for Christ. The world doesn't like that. It wants you to live for self. You are of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. A disciple learns from Jesus Christ, his master, and follows in his Lord's footsteps, and this includes persecution. Are you better than your master? Are you better than your master? Will you not suffer for his name's sake? Some may say, well, this seems a bit extreme. You know, we hear much of the easy believism that says that, you know, you want to get out of hell, you want to have a good life, then accept Christ or receive Him in your heart or whatever they say, and then that's it. You're done. I hear that we will suffer for His name's sake, that we're to take up our cross and follow Him in His suffering. That seems extreme to them. But this is not extreme at all when we look at what our Savior endured for us, when we look at what He suffered on Calvary's cross. Is this not quite reasonable? what he calls us to do, what he calls us to leave, the flesh, the serving of it, following him and his example, even if it causes death. This is not extreme, this is reasonable. Romans 12:1, the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. Because of his great mercy and great love wherewith he loved us, he was robed in flesh and dwelt among us. He took upon himself on Calvary's cross our sin, and the great wrath of God that we deserved was poured out on him. To give up following self, is that not reasonable? To get behind him and to follow him, is this not reasonable? For one who has loved us so, and one that if we are truly saved, we will love. We will love him. He is wisdom. We love wisdom. We love truth. We love his example. We are his disciples. Therefore, we follow him. To put the old man away, to put that to death, to serve Christ with the new man, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, which will lead to persecution and maybe death, this is reasonable service. There's a song that we sang many times where I pastored in Oklahoma. It says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And it goes through and it says, take my hands. And it goes on to take my feet. Goes on to take my voice. Goes on to take my lips. All my members. For him to use them. To consecrate them. To separate them for his service. He has bought us, for we are to glorify him with all of us, including our body, our mind, our soul, our spirit. They're his. Now, for those that are lost here this evening, in verse 27, there is a warning. It says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. What is your life living and doing? What are you living for in your life? Is it to preserve self? Self-interest? Acquisitions? Monies? A status? What is your purpose? What is your goal? What will you gain? There will be a day where you'll be judged before the Almighty God. And if you are not found in Christ, it says you will be judged based on your works. You shall receive a reward according to your works. And the scriptures say that our works are filthy rags before God. It was holy. It was just. It was righteous. You'll be found guilty. You'll be cast into everlasting fire. Therefore, you must flee to Christ. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we began with talking about coming unto him. And in John chapter 6, what is coming to him. Coming to him is believing on him. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Coming and believing are the same thing. Come to Christ. Believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. Be freed from sin. Be freed from its penalty, yes, but also its power and its pleasure and its presence. And then, once you find rest to your soul, then you are to continue to come after Him, to follow Him, to learn of Him. You're to continue to deny self daily. Take up your cross, and it ends with following Him. Follow Him. May the Lord help us all to follow Him, brother.